Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, take the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts and make them acceptable in your sight, who alone is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before we turn to the sermon, let me read for you another passage of scripture. Micah chapter 4 is a vision of heaven, of Jerusalem, God's city, as it ought to be. There's another vision of Jerusalem that we have in scripture, indeed many, but one in particular that I'd like to share with you that comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, reading verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The sea in scripture is chaos, uncontrolled, but the sea is no more. Chaos is over. God's dominion has been established. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among people. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our sermons this month and next, we're looking together at the subject of prayer. We are thinking about different prayers in the Bible by different people in the Bible. We'll focus on those different people when we come to the season of Lent leading up to Good Friday and to Easter. But now we're focusing on one prayer in the Bible, the prayer taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ that we call the Lord's Prayer. You can find this in the Bible in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, or you can find it in your bulletin on page 3. We'll be turning to this prayer, praying it together later in our service. So far as we've looked at the subject of prayer and the Lord's Prayer, I've said this about prayer in general, first of all, that many people quit on prayer because they misunderstand its purpose. They go, as it were, to step 2 and they skip step 1. Step 1 is critical, though, and that is this, that the purpose of prayer, the foundational purpose of prayer, is not to get anything from God. It is not to ask or get, but it is to communicate. It is to get in touch. If we're going to get anything, it is to get in touch with God. It is a gift of God by which we can open our mouths and expect that our prayers, our words, will reach the very throne room of heaven. And we should be stunned at that. Every time we have that expectation, that miracle takes place, that God should hear us, one of billions on the face of this earth, one of who knows how many of God's creatures, that we should speak and God should listen? This should be amazing to us. This is the miracle. This is the foundational miracle of prayer. And in this regard, we believe prayer always works. It brings us to God. We communicate with God. Our lives become intertwined with God in a way that nothing in heaven or earth can separate. That is the primary function of prayer. Like Facebook, like email, like the telephone. There may be requests, but it's about getting in touch. And God says, we have this privilege that we are to use, and we are to expect that it will work in the function for which God has given it. But having said that, that's the first thing, and we should expect it to work there. There is no question. Prayer does involve, in many cases, asking and the expectation of getting. But that's number 2, asking and the expectation of getting. But when we turn to the Lord's Prayer, we find that the kinds of things that Jesus says we're to ask for aren't, at least to begin with, the kinds of things that most people ask for when they turn to God in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Wow. God lets us in. We're on line with God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you weren't to pray that prayer formally, if you were just to pray to God, would you be praying that kind of thing? Is this in your heart or in your mind? These requests, and there are 3 of them there, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. three out of six, they're not about us at all. Nor are they about others. They are not about emergencies or illness or tragedies. They are about God. They lift us up to God, and if they do involve us, they involve us only to the extent that we have been called to put God at the center of our lives. May you do this, Lord. And the implication is, may we do this as well. May we put you at the center of our lives. May we be numbered amongst those who hallow your name, who live under your rule, and who do your will. Recenter us, recenter us, recenter us on you. For this is the truth. You are at the center. Sin in this world is not, first of all, about grossly wicked deeds, though it may involve that. But sin, the ultimate sin from which all others flow, is the fact that God, who by his very existence is the central one, gets pushed off to the side. As C.S. Lewis says, every morning there is this temptation for all the busyness of the world to claim first place. And God is pushed off to the side. And Jesus says that what we're doing in this prayer is to push God back in, pull God back in, beg God that God come back in to the very center of our being. Not my will, but thine. Not ours, but yours. These are the central affirmations as this prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples as it opens, as it begins. Lord, keep changing me. Keep changing us. Keep changing your church. Keep changing your world until the truth is made manifest that you are at the center. And do not stop. Don't stop, Lord, until earth becomes like heaven. Until earth becomes like heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. Wow. We expect God to hear, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then this line, on earth as it is in heaven. This is the line that I really want us to think about today. On earth as it is in heaven. To the full extent that it is in heaven. Jesus' assumption here, of course, is very interesting to begin with, and that is this, that there really is this realm that we call heaven, that it really does exist. And he's mentioned it twice, if you remember, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, twice in this prayer. There really is this dimension of life, which rather like Plato's ideal world, is an ideal world, in which all the things that are wrong with this world are right, in which all is well and good and right and perfect, and in which God is seen to be God in a way that we can only cling to just now. We see through a mirror darkly, but then we will see face to God, and God's reality will abound in this world in a way that is absolutely inescapable. Jesus believed in this, and he taught this. Last week, we caught a glimpse of heaven, and these glimpses are there throughout the pages of Scripture as we looked at the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. It's a chapter in which there is a picture of a throne, and God is on the throne, and all the creatures that God has created of all kinds are around the throne, and the truth is there. God is at the center, and God is worshipped and adored. Great picture of heaven in Revelation chapter 4. We also saw a picture of heaven in an entirely different way when we read the Ten Commandments together from Exodus chapter 20. This is the perfect will of God. We struggle with it on earth, but in heaven, God's will is done. And if you want the embodiment of that will most clearly and most expansively, look at the Ten Commandments, or look at the life of Jesus as a whole, and you see that will. Pictures of heaven here on earth. Or today, we've looked at two different visions, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament as to what heaven is like. We can only catch these little glimpses here and there. But from Micah, the sense that God comes into the center once again and people flow to him because they know that there will be justice and fairness there. All the things that are wrong in life that we scream about and say, that's just not right. Heaven is the place where it is right. It's all right now. Or then in Revelation 21, with which I began this message, there is this picture of heaven as a community, not just isolated individuals, but as a community, the New Jerusalem, descending down from the first heaven, this new heaven God is creating, the city which comes down, a new community that is just right, and a vision of beauty that is just right as a bride adorned for her husband, where beauty takes center stage, where the presence of God is obvious. God is at home with his people. God will dwell with them as their God, and they will see this. And there will be no suffering or evil, all conquered, all dealt with, all thrown into the lake of fire, says the book of Revelation, so that there is no more evil, no pain or suffering or mourning. These are wonderful visions of life as it ought to be, of heaven. And Jesus clearly believed in this realm, and that we will see this realm. We are invited into this realm to see it in all its glory when we die. And there is no question as well that one of our main goals and functions as a church is to help people get there and to ensure that we ourselves get there and to acknowledge the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ has come to us as a Savior who will hold on to us in this life and will never let us go through all of this life until we come to that place after death when we see God face to face. We cannot get there by ourselves. We are too weak. We are too foolish. We cannot make it. But God has sent to us a Savior who will take a hold of us as we take hold of him and will lead us to our eternal destination. What good news this is, this realm of heaven that is to come, that we will see clearly when we die with the help of a Savior. Some of you may remember this as if it were yesterday. Others will say, well, whoa, this is ancient history. But it was 31 years ago last week that Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into the Potomac. Some of you remember that vividly in your minds. And the fact that when the plane crashed, and it was frozen, when the plane crashed, there were only 6 survivors at that time. There would be no ultimate survivors were there not for some saviors who came along. One was in the form of a helicopter. Others were there on the bridge. One jumped in, but there was one savior who was in the water already, who was one of the survivors who had been on the plane. His name was Arlen Williams. And he dragged some of the others to safety, constantly, repeatedly, until he himself lost all his energy and indeed his life and was drowned. It's the most poignant, powerful story of somebody giving their life to the point of death to help people who without help could not have been saved, would not have lived. We are like that. We are in that water, frozen. We cannot pull ourselves to safety. And God sends us a Savior who will lead us all the way through this life to that place in heaven where we will see God clearly. This is a part of the message with which we have been entrusted. And that is critical to see. But what is also critical to see is this, that in the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, he does not teach us to pray like this: Father, take us out of this world so that we can get to heaven as quickly as possible. He does not ask us to pray, take us away from all this evil mess so that we can escape and be with you right here and now. Sometimes that might be a good prayer, but it's not what Jesus teaches us to pray in the prayer that he taught his disciples. No, what he teaches them to pray about heaven is this: that as much of heaven should come down to earth as possible between now and then, so that we not only experience heaven later, but we experience and we are the ambassadors of heaven as much as possible here on earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right here and now. Yes, even through us, as it is in heaven. As much of it as possible. We are not sitting around waiting. We have work to do, commissioned by God. Those who know that our destination is clear, to bring as much of it to view in this world which does not believe in it as possible. If heaven is the place where God's name is hallowed perfectly, and it is, Revelation 4, God hallowed and honored by all his creatures. If heaven is the place where God is seen to be king, I mean, there is no doubt about it. God rules and rules his community, his realm. If heaven is the place where God's will is done perfectly, and there is no doubt about that either, then what we are to pray for ourselves and for others and for this world, is that as much of this be seen, visible, experienced as is possible by us and through us. This is the prayer. Is it your prayer? Is this what you're praying for when you ask of God? That God be at the center, so much so of everything, that it's as if heaven is descending to earth, through our lives as individuals, through our lives as a community of God's people together. Heaven later, yes, yes, but heaven now too. This is the prayer. So what does it look like in practice? Let me give you three possible examples, and I think there are a myriad of examples, because heaven is filled with images that pertain to this life now, if we could only summon them to come down to earth. Three images of what this may be like in practice if we are serious about praying that God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first one is this, that surely there will be more prayer within our lives and within our church. Heaven, after all, is the place where God is seen perfectly. It's the restoration of the Garden of Eden, where God is seen walking amongst his people in the cool of the day, and they chat with God as if it were just the most familiar thing. So miraculous as it is, and it is, heaven is the place where it's an everyday reality. God is there. We talk to God. We are in communion with God, in a communion that nothing can break. So surely if we're praying for heaven to come down to earth, we actually should be praying, speaking, conversing with God on a regular basis, as if we were there now, as if heaven were here now. Very simple. Prayer, conversation with God, natural then, more and more a part of our lives now. Or think about it this way, in the second place. If heaven is the place where we arrive at home, and isn't this a common way of thinking about heaven? Heaven is homecoming, home at last, where we are at home. God is placed within our lives, every human being. This passion for home, this sense of restlessness that we're not home yet, but we will be home sometime. If heaven is pictured like that, and it is in Revelation, and this is our experience in our very being, this hungering for home, shouldn't our lives and shouldn't the church be the place which is a home and provides a home and seeks to provide a home for all? Spiritually, shouldn't this be a spiritual home for as many people as possible? And this should be our passion to make it so. Shouldn't this be a community where people find out how to get to their eternal spiritual home in all kinds of ways? But not just spiritually. Shouldn't this be a place which treats people not just in spirit, but in body, as people who need a home? We live in a world in which there are people who do not have a home. All of us here, I suspect, have a home. And it's critical for us. It's at the center, yes, the center of our being. What about those who don't have a home? Shouldn't this be our concern, not only spiritually, but literally as well? One of the things that I don't think we do very well in our congregation is to share some of the things that are going on around us and through us as a church as a whole. Part of our mission, part of our outreach as a community, is to be in touch with and to partner with the Community Council for the Homeless in Friendship Place, Friendship Heights. There's a program that our church is involved in called Aim Higher. Now, higher here is not spelled H-I-G-H-E-R, though that's the image, obviously, Aim Higher, but it's H-I-R-E. It's a program in which we partner with others to help those who have no home and have no employment and have no hope of getting a home to get a home for themselves and employment by which that home can be sustained for the long haul. If you're on the streets and you have no job, the chances are that you will never get a job because you don't smell very good. You're not dressed very well. You don't have the ability to write a resume, and you have no idea how you're going to interview well. If you're going to break that cycle, people need a place to be refreshed, to sleep, and from which they can learn those skills which we take for granted, which will get them in the door to a new life. It's a highly successful program, and it's going on close by us, and we are involved. Our church enables one person to have an apartment from which they can, as it were, graduate into employment again. And we've done it once. We've just begun. We're doing it again, and we will do it again and again and again. How critical this is. If heaven is like this, to be ambassadors of heaven on earth. But here's my suggestion, that if we pray for this, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven, that one may only be just the starting place. What if we are known in our city as the place which not only provides a spiritual home for all who come and shows people where their eternal home is, but we become known in the city as the place which cares that everyone who needs one finds a home, and we do what it takes to make that happen. That would be to take this prayer very seriously, with just one glimpse of heaven coming down to earth. Or one final picture of what it might mean if we are to pray that heaven would come down to earth. If heaven is the place where people of every tongue and tribe and nation gather before God, and that is the image from Micah of all the peoples coming to the city where God dispenses justice, then surely this is the kind of community we should be. This is the kind of people that we should be, open to others. This is the kind of nation that we should work for as citizens within our nation. This week I reread Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. It's remarkable to think that it is itself 50 years old this year. What many people forget, because the knowledge of the scripture is far less than it used to be, is that this speech is filled with images which are taken directly from Scripture, and in particular at critical moments in the speech. Scripture is the driving force of what Martin Luther King Jr. had to say. Biblical images everywhere, and if you look at the sermon notes that should be in your bulletin, you'll see how some of those images come together. If this is God's perfect will, what heaven is like, then we should be involved in the creating of this kind of world where we live. Dr. King had it right, at least with that part of the prayer, that if you hold up the image of heaven high enough and you do not let it go, it will in fact do its work in leading people to put it into practice, not all at once, not perfectly, but as much as possible here and now, and not merely later. A beacon of light. That's what God has given us in Scripture. A beacon of light that we will see fully and clearly one day, but that He summons us as His servants to be ambassadors of right here and now. If heaven is the place where people are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, if heaven is the place where justice, as Amos said — some people just think that Martin Luther King invented this, but Amos is the one who invented it — where justice rolls down like water and where righteousness flows like a mighty stream, then this, through us, is to be what we and our community and our impact on the world is to be like. So here's our prayer. Our Father, Jesus teaches us to pray. The door is open. Who art in heaven? It's like breaking into the Pentagon, isn't it? The computer of the Pentagon. Can you get all the way in? Yes. And you're there. Our Father, who art in heaven. We're talking to God, our Creator. Hallowed be thy name. Though all the pressure is for me to pursue my name. Thy kingdom come, though all the pressure is for me to rule my life. Thy will be done, though I just want to do my own thing. Not just a little bit, but to a full extent, as it is in heaven, so on earth. Lord, may this be true, even through us, even through us. This is our prayer that Jesus teaches you and me. So let us pray. Almighty God, be the center, not only of your whole universe, but of our lives and of our world and of our church. And reigning at the center, help us know that you summon us in the most amazing way, not only to live in heaven when we die, and we are grateful for this summons through Jesus Christ, but to be agents of this heaven here on earth now. So renew our sense of purpose, lived within your purpose, each one of us this day. Amen.